Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello everybody, I'm John Hindorf with another Inside Story. It's such a controversial subject that even just saying the phrase balance of performance is enough to start a heated debate among fans of endurance racing. This season, the sport's three governing bodies, the ACO, the FIA and IMSA, have a new concept for equalising the cars in the top class, hypercar for the ACO and GTP for IMSA. And at Sebring, I had a chance to speak to the ACO's competition director, Thierry Bouvet, to find out all about it.
The inside story on the teams, suppliers and circuits. Inside.
Give me some information so that we can all understand, where does the data come from and what's the process and how do you get them all into a performance window?
Maybe before speaking about BOP or the process, maybe I'd like to take a step back and speak about the regulation. Regulation about hypercar, whether it's on the global things, there is a few, let's say, performance factor. We speak about aerodynamic, we speak about engine power, whether we speak about tires, etc. For aerodynamic, we put all the cars in wind tunnel. It's very long sessions, about 8 hours, where we
actual cars, full scale, one-to-one wind tunnel.
Exactly. So it's literally 2 days, two prep days before that car goes in wind tunnel, a complete day in the wind tunnel. We measure the car aerodynamic performance in all car attitude, eave, roll, etc. And then that car needs to be in a very precise level of downforce and drag. The only way the car is being homologated is that all the cars are within that small aerodynamic performance window. So that's the first step, very important step of the homologation process. After that, we remove the car from the wind tunnel. We'll completely 3D scan the car to take the bodywork as a reference. Like that, we can make sure that on racing tracks, whenever we scan the car again, we can compare it to the homologation scan and make sure that the car is exactly where it should be. That's on the aerodynamic part.
Then, so the old days, Thierry, yep. Completely different aerodynamic noses or rear wings, that's gone now.
No, I would say the old days of having an aerodynamic regulation with in this area you can do this or you cannot do that is gone. Now you say you can do whatever you want, you can put all your styling on the car and we can see very different cars out there, very complete different cars out there, I would say, even some with no rear wing, to the extent that it shows that manufacturers can implement their styling on the cars. But all those cars got the very, very strict, similar aerodynamic performance.
In that window that you were talking about.
Yes, and it's a very small window, the smallest it has ever been.
However, it has been able for Peugeot in particular, and that's the car without the rear wing, to reach those figures without the need for a rear wing. Did that cause you any particular problems in terms of how you had to measure the car? Was there anything different about that?
No, it was the very same process for all the cars. Effectively, there are load cells, let's say, underneath the wheels of the car to measure the downforce of the car, and there are load cells to measure the drag of the car, so it doesn't matter whether there is a big rear wing, no rear wing at all, or whatever.
And you use, for your reference wind tunnel, the Sauber-Hinwil tunnel in Switzerland, yes?
We, for WEC championship, we do use Sauber in Switzerland. That's a process that we are doing together, ACO FIA. And together with our colleagues from IMSA, we are doing the very same process at Windshear in USA.
We'll come to the cooperation side of things in a moment, because I think that's another part of the story that people need to understand, and the sharing of data between the two. We talked about convergence of regulations and seeing LMDHs on the track here, but the convergence of data as well between you and Matt and the rest of the IMSA team has been absolutely crucial to that.
We spoke about aerodynamic,
yes.
Very important point,
yes.
Of the car. Tires, it's very quick. All the cars got the same tires,
yep.
So that's very simple.
That's easy, yeah.
Then the other big part of the car performance is power output. Mm-hmm. And we don't ask the cars to go on a bench, on an engine dyno, or anything like that. We just have drive shaft torque meter, where we measure in real time the power output. And in real time, we can make sure that all the cars got the very same power. That's the key to those regulations. So basically, in the old days, regulations were prescribing like kind of inputs of the car, like what can you do in this box and so on, or what kind of engine you can use. Mm-hmm. Now we don't care about the inputs, we care about the outputs. And that's bring a lot of the success to this regulation.
See, I'm not technical and I completely understand that. You've used a lot of simulations on this. What are we talking about when we talk about simulations?
So I've explained you a little bit of the big part of the regulations, where already the car are in a very small performance window. Now, even with the small differences, which are very small, we still want to make sure that those differences are leveraged. So we put all the, let's say, data. We've got the wind tunnel, etc. We even measure the gravity center of all the cars. We put that into a simulation software. We did a simulation working group with ICO, FIA, IMSA, all working together, because you spoke about convergence. That was the key of the success of our championship and IMSA championship. Convergence is a great thing. And we work together as a group, as a unique, like if it was a unique regulatory body. And then we made over 500,000 simulations. People work days and nights.
Half a million.
Exactly, yes. Half a million of simulations to achieve or to define the starting BOP that we've applied here, all together in the same way for IMSA competition and WEC championship.
And that is absolutely data and empirically based. There's no finger being stuck up in the air. They're all your measurements as well, so you're not relying on anything from any of the teams, the manufacturers.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Crucial, I would think.
Exactly. So it's let's say, certified measurements into a simulation software. Every single car has been using, obviously, the same process to that software. So that's why we've got a good confidence in the output of the, and therefore the starting BOP.
In the past, we have seen calculations being made on what the cars have done on the track. You've taken that out of it, because even before the prologue,
exactly,
you've got unencumbered data and lots of it. So when people used to say, they're not trying, they're sandbagging, they're doing this, that and the other, that's been taken out of it, because you've set this before the cars have got to the track.
We had some cars running in 21 and 22. We didn't take that into account. We took into account wind tunnel data, gravity center height, etc., and just put that into the sim. And as a matter of fact, some cars are new to us, so it would have been unfair to, let's say, use Toyota's data as an example and not use Ferrari's data, because we didn't
have any Ferrari track data.
So really, it was all what was coming out from the homologation process, which was the input for this thing. What's important to stress is here, with that new process, we are clearly equalizing the potential of all the cars. And it's really important to speak about the potential of all the cars. And what does it bring? It means that racing on the track is up to the teams.
So we're not trying to balance every car, every team, and every driver so that they all do a 147.8 every lap, because then we wouldn't be motor racing, would we?
Exactly. So we had a long discussion with manufacturers over a year, discussing with all of them, all together in the same room. We did a full loop, basically, of how far we can go into the BOP. It make people realize that could go very far and very dangerous for the sport. So we came back to square one and said, okay, how should we settle a nice and fair BOP for everybody? And all the manufacturers agree on that process.
So we've now seen the two Toyotas then lap the rest of the hypercar field. Best lap times are around a second and a half better than we've seen anybody else do. Now, do you look at that now and say, did we get this right? Did we get this wrong? Are you confident in the numbers and the process?
Yep. Well, we'll obviously do our due diligence after this event, after the following events, and etc. But not looking only at the lap times. We need to, what we call, sanitize the lap time and make sure that we look at tire pressure, we look at car attitude, we look at plenty of things. I mean, there is a power curve, for example, which is a maximum output at the wheel that is being regulated during the race. But after this event, we're going to look, okay, let's look at each car and how far they are from the limit, because that makes a difference, obviously, in lap time.
And, so are those your independent sensors on the car as well, Jerry?
Yes.
So again, you're not relying on anything that's been supplied by a team or a manufacturer?
No, it's fully our sensor reading.
Yeah. Now, big change from previous years, Thierry, in that we've often seen more BOP changes than we've had races in FIA WEC in the past. There was criticism from the fans and from the teams about that it seemed like you were being terribly reactive to what had happened in the previous race. You have got different weightings depending on the different types of track, but you've effectively now said that the BOP that we've started the prologue in this race with will be current until after Le Mans. How was that arrived at?
That's part of the BOP process discussion we had with manufacturers. There was a stability process which was discussed, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So what we have here is a starting BOP for Sebring. We've also declared or published, let's say, the BOP, starting BOP for the next three events, which will be identical. Sebring was a little bit of an outlier. That's why it was a little bit different, but I think racing drivers would know why Sebring is a little bit of an outlier. So that's what we did that. And we already published the BOP up until Le Mans, and that was the best proof for us that to show that, okay, now all the work has been done with simulation prior to, let's say, Sebring event. Let's go racing and let's focus on the pure racing activity.
Fascinated hearing you talking, Thierry, about the parameters changing from inputs to output. Why and how did you come to the decision to make that fundamental change in attitude of how you were assessing performance of the cars?
Why we went this way? Because we wanted to allow large variety of design on the cars, on the aerodynamic. So the only way to give manufacturers the freedom to do what they want, what it was to regulate on the output rather than the input. So really, it started from that day on the, let's say, hypercar technical regulation. And then literally, it's about the same process on BOP.
This is the first year of convergence, and you're confident that data that you've got together this year, because it's not taken from racetracks, you're not waiting for 2 or 3 years of data, you're confident that you can make that four-window BOP work?
Yes.
Yeah, simple. Well, difficult question, simple answer. The BOP function that combines LMDH, of which there are two types, of course, the LMDH and the two different types of LMH, hybrid and non-hybrid cars. Have you been using IMSA's experience with the cars to evaluate the balance to the pure hypercars of the WEC?
So, first of all, again, we are working as a group. So, any data would have been shared with IMSA, and they would have been part of this group. But to answer this question is, did we take into consideration Daytona for the starting BOP? The answer is clearly no, because we simulated all the cars with the results from homologation and not the results from the track. That's the key of fundamentals of the starting BOP.
Does that in some respects take out the vagaries and the outlier tracks like you would have here at Sebring? You have had different categories of tracks in other series, have other different categories of BOP for different classes. Does that negate the need for that?
Well, I would say a little bit, yes, because everything is so tight all together already from the origins of the regulations, and that shows that on the following racing tracks they will have the same BOP. So it means that we desensitize those parameters in a way.
In the past, performances, we've had target lap times, for example, at Le Mans for the stratification of the classes, and the ACO are the guardians of Le Mans and therefore of endurance motor racing. That's me saying that. I don't expect you to comment on that. When the regulations and therefore the homologation was conceived, were you thinking about Le Mans? Were you thinking about any particular track? Or were you looking at something far broader? And this, I guess, goes more back to regulations than what's happened since.
When we thought about the regulations, we wanted to get away from the old LMP1 style where there was a Le Mans kit, aero kit, and a Iron Force kit. So for hypercar category, you say, well, there is only one kit. And because of that, we didn't want to leave the choice to the manufacturers, because some of the manufacturers would have chosen the Iron Force kit or the Lowdown Force kits to be better in Le Mans. So we say, okay, the aero figures has to be those exact numbers.
Yes.
So everybody has got the same chance, whether we speak about Le Mans, Sebring, Portimao, whatever.
I just want to go back again. There will be people looking at the times here and saying that Toyota of you know, if this is half the championship, Toyota are going to run away with this. But we're not trying to stop people being good here. This is potential performance, not achieved performance, that you're talking about. Have
exactly.
I got that right?
No, perfect. That's perfect. You got it exactly right. That we made sure that all the cars got the same potential. And that's what we are. And we are 100% sure that all the cars got the same potential. Now, I believe, and for the case of Toyota, experience must have something to say into the performance today.
Thanks very much to the ACO's competition director, Thierry Bouvet.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.